Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Four games against the Giants. It's big, Jay. Actually, I'd say the whole second half is big for the Padres. More than half of their remaining games are against the NL West. They're in a fight for... We can talk about this. I think they're in a fight for a wild card spot more than the NL West lead. But here we go. Four against the Giants at home.
I mean, I've thought that all along. I mean, they were close to the Dodgers, but to me, Dodgers are always going to pull away. Yeah, I mean, it's a really big second half because there really is no excuse for this team not to make the playoffs. I mean, barring disastrous injuries in the second half to multiple players, not just the one star that they've been missing for the half, you know, the Giants aren't very good, as we've seen lately. Of course, the Padres haven't been either. But, you know, the Phillies, thanks to Blake Snell, lost their best player for most of the second half. I don't, you know, so how good are they? I mean, the Padres should be able to win, you know, 88 to 90 games and get one of those wild card spots. As Tom Krasovic points out to me all the time and in his writing, you know, the playoffs are watered down now. I mean, you've got three wild card spots. You only have to be one of the six best teams to get in the playoffs. The Padres have the fifth highest payroll in all of baseball, not just the National League. There's really no excuse at this point, and I think there could be some serious, should be some serious ramifications if they don't. I won't say that there will be, because I don't think that will happen. But you could certainly make the argument that there could be, you know, serious ramifications if they don't make the playoffs. Jay. I still think they will.
Yes.
I still think if they don't, what I'm talking about won't happen.
To get that sixth spot, let's just say if you're playing for the sixth spot, which is not good because then you have to play a road wild card series. But nonetheless, if you've got good pitching, heck, you're in it, man.
Sure.
To get that sixth spot, they barely have to play over 500 ball the rest of the way. Probably.
They might not even have to play over 500.
They're 11 over right now. You're right.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. They've won how many games right now?
They're at, 46, I think it is. 47 and 36.
47 and 36. I mean, so they've got 80 games left or something like that. I mean, they win 40 games. They're in, I think. I mean, I don't think that's asking too much. And as you've said, but to start with, they've been bad. I mean, as I tweeted this morning to promote this podcast, that it's been a week since we did a podcast. In that time, they are one somewhat / very miraculous inning away from not winning a game. I mean, they were, you know, they have not hit the ball, with the exception of the ninth inning, really, against the Dodgers on Sunday, really haven't hit the ball, you know, to do anything. And their pitching has been okay, but not quite good enough. And they were honestly lucky to win one of the six games they've played since we last talked. The good news for them is, the Giants just lost six in a row until last night's game in Arizona. So there's nobody sort of charging at them right now.
The Giants scored five runs in the final two innings. They were going to be a 500 club. They were going to get swept by the Diamondbacks.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, of course, this weekend, somebody's got to win. They're playing four games, two teams that aren't going well right now. Padres coming off basically 48 hours off from not playing on, you know, since the Padres last played on Tuesday, the Giants have played two games and traveled. I mean, yeah, it's only an hour and everything, but they got in late last night. And Padres, you know, have been quote unquote refreshed, or at least should have been. I know they had some things going on the last couple of nights, but still they weren't playing baseball. So that's a good thing. I mean, doing their diamond dinner last night or whatever it was at Petco, that's not exactly like having to go through a game.
I love it that now in the age of social media, a team doesn't go out and blow off some steam and have a little team bonding thing without it being all over social media.
Yeah,
the Padres players did on Tuesday night.
I was going to say, I think I missed most of that last night yesterday, and I was thankful, but I got the impression that people were upset because the Padres went to a 30th birthday party for Manny Machado on Tuesday night. You know, with an off day on Wednesday. I don't know what I'll never understand that. I mean, are the players just supposed to go home and mope around the house and, you know, and sit around and try not to kick their dogs or something? I mean, they, you know, they their best player had his 30th birthday. It's kind of a big deal. If you and you, you know, if you're turning 30, I'd be honored to celebrate it with you. That was a long time ago, way longer ago for me that I certainly can't even remember that. And I'm sure you don't remember much of yours either. But
I believe I just arrived at the UT maybe a year earlier. Yes.
Okay. Well, I wasn't invited anyway. But, that's something that's what they should be doing on a night like that. They should be getting together and they should be blowing off steam. And, you know, and they got, I think it was at Manny's house, if I'm not mistaken, or at somebody's house. So it's not like they were out tearing up downtown or something like that. And, you know, they come back today and look, they could lose 10-0 tonight. They could win 10-0 tonight. It has nothing to do with what happened Tuesday night.
If I'm going to entertain this at all, and look, this was supposed to be two days off.
Right.
The night before, actually, the Wednesday night, because tonight was supposed to be off. Wednesday night was supposed to be this big shindig they had, whatever it was, the diamond dinner, you know, and all the players were there. It got moved, you know, the CBA forced a bunch of rescheduling. So now the Padres only had yesterday off. So it got moved to yesterday. If I'm like upset, if I'm going to put myself in the mind, I'm more upset at the team for having the players go on their only off night to this thing. But neither one matters one hill of beans.
Exactly. So anyway, what does matter is the Padres offense is a disaster right
good
now.
Good golly.
And you can certainly see how Machado has mostly carried them through most of the first half, because he has not been any good since his injury. His numbers, you know, are still really good for the season, but he's definitely, I think he only has 3 or 4 hits since he came back. I think 2 doubles, no home runs. This team is, as you've talked about all year, has not slugged at all, almost at all. I mean, I was looking it up. They are 13th in slugging in the National League. They are 14th in home runs. There's only 15 teams in the National League. That's not good. They are 8th in runs, but that's certainly not based on anything they've done lately. I mean, I have a printout here of all the season stats. There have been guys who have been terrible for pretty much the entire season. Austin Nola, Trent Grisham come to mind as two of those guys. There have been guys who have been terrible lately. Eric Hosmer, for the most part, you know, a couple big hits. But for the most part, his season numbers are pretty much in line with what he's been since he's been here, but has not been very good lately. And Cronenworth was hot for a while, has cooled off. You know, there's just a bunch of guys. You know, Luke Voit has not looked good lately. I don't know. You watch every inning. I've managed to miss a few. What are you seeing recently from these guys?
Well, of all those innings I've watched recently in that last week, they're scoring like once every 6 or 7 innings. That's a problem, especially when it's not many of them are like that 9th inning where they put up 4 and not and also hit a home run in that inning, which they don't do. Yeah, I think we're learning who Luke Voit is. He hits the ball hard. He hits the ball far. And a lot of times he strikes out. Man, he's 3-for-19 since he came back. 10 Ks in 21 plate appearances. That's the first time that's happened in 6 seasons. So, like, is it his injury? Yeah, probably it's a little bit his injury. And then it's also that, you know, players go through that. But nonetheless, this is as bad as you're going to see Manny. Probably won't see good Manny until after the All-Star break. I didn't say he won't hit any home runs.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. But like full strength Manny is a little bit of a ways away. I'm out of words to talk about what this offense has been. I think that it's time to like reconcile the fact that it better be a different team when Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back early August, late July, when you have a few more reliable pieces in the bullpen, if Drew Pomeranz ever comes back, when Pierce Johnson comes back, Adrian Morahone, because I think the bullpen is kind of a problem. It is forced almost every night. It has forced Bob Melvin to I'm diverging into pitching, but it's forced Bob Melvin to either run a reliever out there extra innings, run Craig Stammen out there when he wouldn't have, or have a starter go longer than he would have. So that's going to be big. And then I am getting, in no uncertain terms, the impression that the Padres know they have to add a bat, and they will add a bat. Almost like, duh, we're going to add a bat. Now, I don't know with the history of what AJ Preller has done bringing bats in, what that's going to mean. But the fact is, I think we're going to be looking at a very different team after August 1st or 2nd.
Well, and the question, I guess the question I have and that a lot of people would have, and I probably differ from a lot of people on my answer to this, is how much are you willing to give up for that bat? And I guess a lot of it depends on who the bat is. You know, let's say it's Wilson Contreras.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's a spot where you could say the Padres need some help. Alfaro's had some big hits. He seems rather streaky. Austin Nola has not been good pretty much for the whole year. I mean, his OPS is right around 600. So if you could get Wilson Contreras, are you giving up Robert Hassel for Wilson Contreras?
And I don't think you have to. If you're okay. trying to get
now, he's a free agent, right?
from a
he's
team a, that's a little a closer to contending.
Yeah.
Then you do. But the Cubs aren't that team. Now, I know that it's not 2 years ago, but look what they got Yu Darvish for. And so the Padres have, and this is what I would say, and maybe, you know, we should have Jeff Sanders on here to talk about tradable prospects, because I think Jeff Sanders could be one of the few people in the world, the guys at Mad Friars, these Baseball America, mm-hmm. these types of people, that whoever they would trade to the Cubs, those are the only people that are going to know who these prospects are. I don't think they have to give up Hassel to get Contreras. They may mm-hmm. have to give up quite a few players that are like plus, you know, A-ball players that have a really high ceiling, like they did when they got Darvish and Caratini. Now you're looking to go to like Kansas City, which is sort of they feel like they're a little closer. Maybe you do need to then give up a Hassel. But who are you getting from Kansas City? Are you really going to do that for Whit Merrifield or Benintendi? Benintendi could be like Adam Frazier plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think he's a hell of a player, but I thought Adam Frazier was a good player. If you're going to make this trade because you're all in on this season, which the Padres have to be all in and they know it on this season, you're going for someone who can give you some slug, who you're very confident can help you.
Right. And Contreras is a free agent
yes.
after the season. So that also helps in terms of not having to give up.
Yes.
Maybe your top guy. I mean, Whit Merrifield is hitting 239 right now. I don't have his other numbers.
People don't come to the Padres and hit better.
And hit better. Exactly. I mean, he's been a guy that's always been, in, you know, 18 and 19, he was over 300. He was around 280 the last couple of years. Now he's at 239. That's exactly the kind of guy you don't want to see come in here. That's Adam Frazier 2.0
right.
or Ryan Leibowitz 3.0, whatever you want to put it. So I think there's a question, you know, do the Padres have enough without adding a bat? If you bring back Tatis and you bring back Myers, is that enough in itself right there? And you could make an argument that it is.
To go to our original conversation, I think it is.
Yeah. I think it is. And the argument is that those guys come back and contribute. And it also counts on a couple of other guys doing something. And Trent Grisham's at the top of my list in terms of guys who have done nothing. And, you know,
he has 7 home runs in the last month and a half.
Right, but that's it. You know, he still has an OPS that's barely over 600, adjusted OPS of 79. His defense is not nearly as good as the Padres seem to think it is, or some people think it is, and it certainly hasn't been good lately that anybody.
It certainly hasn't. All of that because you're talking about me. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah. So I've never been a wow, Trent Grisham's a great player guy. And I'm really down on Trent Grisham this year because I just don't think that he's contributed very much. And I think he would be one of the first guys to tell you that. I mean, his on-base percentage is .285. It can't be that low, you know?
Absolutely, except that, like, his first month and a half were historically low. When this run that I'm talking about began, and look, I'm not pushing back too much on what you're saying, Jay.
No,
he was hitting .140.
Yeah.
Like, so to get it up to 186, which is where it's at now, then
I don't know. Every time I see Trent Grisham, he's taking 2 strikes. And we've talked about that before. And it's, you know, his greatest strength is his weakness and that sort of thing. But at least this, and I know you'll agree with this, his defense has to be better if he's going to hit in this range. And the last 3 games, or just in the last 2 games, I thought he was lazy on a ball on Monday. He kind of Rodriguez, who, wow, what a great player that guy is and is going to be, took the extra base on him, and it was like, oh, this guy's not going to run. Well, he ran. Then he got a bad break on a ball. He broke back. The ball was short. I don't think he would have caught that ball anyway, even with a good break. And then the ball in the ninth inning the other day off of Taylor Rogers was just a bad play that went over his head. So that's three plays in the last 2 days that I can point to just as a, you know, average guy on the street sort of watching games that haven't been particularly good. So anyway, he's a guy that has to produce more. Austin Nola has to produce more. Eric Hosmer has to produce more. Even Jake Cronenworth, who, you know, produced at a very high level for several weeks, has sort of dropped off. It's like, where is he gonna level off?
Right. So let's say you add Tatis and a bat. I do think that a player in the Dodgers lineup, right? And look at who beat the Padres a lot. They're number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters, okay? Guys who haven't been doing very well.
Who haven't been doing anything.
I do think hitting in the Dodgers lineup helps you. I just do. And if you lengthen this Padres lineup, which is what they thought they had, right? Where Jake Cronenworth doesn't have to bat second. Look, big Jake Cronenworth guy. It's a down year. He's a better player than this. But if this is what he's doing this year, then maybe he's better off hitting fifth, sixth. I don't know. Yeah. It depends on who you get, because if Profar keeps hitting like, you know, he has for the most part, then you've got Manny, Tatis, or you got Tatis. I don't know how you're doing it, but you've got three players at the top. You don't need Cronenworth there.
Right.
Depends on who you bring in. You bring in Contreras. Is he batting third? I think that lengthening this lineup could really change the performance of a few players and make their holes right now and make them less glaring.
Right.
That's almost the best I can say about this offense is get some more players in there and maybe some of these guys will hit better.
Right. And I guess, I know you think that I'm always an optimist, a half full glass, half full guy. But all I think about are, as you said, people don't come to the Padres and hit better. And I just keep thinking that, you know, they're going to end up getting burned on a trade because they're going to give up somebody that's going to turn out to be good. And they're going to get somebody in here and he's going to come in here. And like almost everyone who comes in here, he's not going to produce. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't. I'm not saying they shouldn't try or anything like that. But it's difficult to be optimistic about somebody that they're going to bring in just because history tells us that something happens when people come here. Maybe it's this water we're reading about now, about this moldy, stinky water that we've had stories about. Maybe that's the whole secret to all this. That's been causing the problems, and only the hitters get it. It doesn't seem to affect too many pitchers. But anyway, they obviously need to find some help, whether it's within, and it's somebody like Myers that comes back and then leads to Tatis, or if it's you know, from what you're saying, they seem determined to make a move. The question is, where does that – so is it an outfielder? Is it a catcher? I mean, Ha-Seong Kim's actually been one of their better hitters in recent times. So is Tatis now the bat that goes to the outfield? Where do you think we stand on that?
Well, I was going to say one of the reasons Trent Grisham might want to play better is so he can keep some playing time because I think, you know, it became obvious on the last trip that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to play some in the outfield. And, you know, there were times where the other day there was a lot of video out that showed him in the outfield. Ironically, that day, I just used ironically wrongly, but that day, 90% of his workout was the infield that day. He's going to play shortstop. But he also has spent days where he's only worked in the outfield. And so he's going to be in the outfield at times. And could that be right field, center field? Yep, could be either one of those. And Bob Melvin said it depends on where we need him, which means depends on who's playing poorly.
Or if you want to
put it the way Jay Posner would, it depends on who's playing well because he's so positive. Jay's just hyper-realistic. That's another one.
And Profar has a .345 on base, and there's nothing wrong, especially in today's game. He's not the problem at this point. And, you know, and even in right field, with what they've been doing there. I mean, Mazzara has had limited time, but he's put up numbers when he's been out there. Azokar's been okay. So, I mean, it's more to me, it's more the guys like Nola and Hosmer and those type and Grisham that are causing the biggest issue right now. And and Voit is another guy, you know, recently that just hasn't produced. So are those guys going to be bad for three more months? I wouldn't expect it. I know some people think one of those guys is always bad, even though they have bigger problems than him, but you know, that's the way things are. And, you know, the other thing that would help is they do need their pitching to stay strong. I would, if we segue into that real quick, you know, Sean Manaea has been good, but hasn't been quite what I would have, you know, if you look at his numbers right now, based because he's had some rough starts lately, you know, an ERA over 4, I would not expect that from him when they got him. I would think he was better than that. You know, Blake Snell, is the light ever going to go on? You know, it goes on at times. Clevinger, I think, has been pretty good, although the outing the other day was disappointing, you know, against a team where he had 2 outs and nobody on and gave up runs. Nice. So, twice, and then it happened to Rogers as well. So, you know, there's different you talked about the bullpen. Look, it's not a good stretch. I mean, you're not 6-12 in your last 18, and we're on here talking about how great everybody's playing.
Well, let's
it's also 18 games, and you know that's barely 10% of a season,
yes.
Barely over 10% of a season. They still have 47 wins. FanGraphs today put out their latest projections for the season. They're still 83% to make the playoffs. So, look, this should still be a playoff team, despite that we just spent the last 20 minutes talking about how bad they've been.
They haven't had a losing month yet. As bad as they finished June, they still, I believe, were 16-13. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that's an arbitrary thing. They, you know,
sure,
you could pick a spot of 29 games where they have recently. But say it again, this is why Bob Melvin was brought in too. He doesn't play any games, but if Jace Tingler was a part of the problem, then that's gone, and you were replaced with a guy who was brought in for moments such as these. So back to what you said, if at the end of the season, this isn't a playoff team, I don't know that you look at Bob Melvin, but you at the guys below him and the guy above him. That's what where you look. Cause it's like, really?
I know.
Who's the problem here? Andy Green, Jace Tingler, Bob Melvin. Maybe we look at some other people who've been here longer.
Yeah, Bob Melvin is, you know, like we've talked about before, every once in a while I have an issue with something he does, but I think most of the time it's based on what you've talked about, which is the sort of the roster makeup and the bullpen makeup, and trying not to burn out the bullpen. So trying to stretch those starters a little bit, and I understand why he's doing it. Bob Melvin has proven that he can win games in the big leagues. So I don't think that Bob Melvin is the problem right now. So it's either, as you said, it's the people that play for him or it's the people who hired him. And we'll see what happens. There's still a long way to go. I mean, today is July 7th. The season ends in 3 months. There's a lot of games between now and then and some big games coming up. These are teams, you know, 4 against the Giants, 4 against the Rockies, albeit at Coors, 3 against the Diamondbacks. That's 11 games coming up. No reason, you know, not to expect 6-7 wins out of that set, especially you've got 7 of the games at home. So win 5 of those, win a game or 2 in Colorado, go into the All-Star break, and you know, you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Then there's the other scenario. you're playing 4 at Coors Field and where you haven't won in 10 games. And then you are playing the Diamondbacks at home feeling like, all right, what a great way to end the first half. And what if you don't? And then you got to wait 4 days to go play where in New York. Oh, yeah.
Against the Mets.
Wow.
Yeah. Boy. And they'll only have like DeGrom and Scherzer ready for that series. So
I haven't looked up my bad. I haven't looked up tonight's matchup is absolutely incredible. Logan Webb and Joe Musgrove.
Yes.
Logan Webb on the final game of the Padres first road trip held the Padres to 1 run in 8 innings in a 2-1 victory.
Yes.
Joe Musgrove, the next time the Padres went to San Francisco, held the Giants to no runs in 7 innings Both of them gave up four hits in those outings. So they didn't pitch against each other, but they have both done extremely well against the other team. And these are their team's aces. And I'm not going to be there tonight. Shame on me. But that is going to be a heck of a matchup.
So you're on the under tonight is what you're saying.
Well, considering who the offenses are as well.
Yeah. tomorrow, the Giants, as far as I know, haven't named a pitcher. Blake Snell goes for the Padres. Carlos Rodon, who does not give up home runs, by the way, is pitching on Saturday. That's another 4:15 game with Yu Darvish going for the Padres. And then the final game on Sunday is a couple of lefties, Alex Wood and Mackenzie Gore. So I remember Gore did pitch against the Giants in one of the games, I think a Sunday game in San Francisco, where they blew out the Giants and he had a big lead. Yeah, had a big lead to work with and that sort of thing. So then after that means Manaea and Clevenger in Coors. So we'll deal with that when it happens. We will talk to you on Monday. You will be in Denver. And for the last time, right?
No.
No? This is only the second trip there?
Craziest thing. So this is a four-game trip to Denver. Later, I think it's September. I think it's the last trip.
Oh, that's right.
There's a three-game trip. I've never been on a three-game trip. There's a three-game trip to Denver. Not to complain, but it's the worst place to go to because the airport is actually in Kansas. It's in Olathe, Kansas.
It's not in Kansas.
It's an hour from downtown.
It's not an hour. Even you can't tell somebody who's been there several times that that it's an hour. But anyway, so, right. You have another trip.
Yeah, that'll be another thing to deal with going to Denver. But and the good thing for Mackenzie Gore is he will miss Denver.
That's right.
Actually, you take away the Rockies, I think he's like still got a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah, he's pitched very well against everybody else. So it's a good point that it works out for him to do that, and then he'll get a start next week.
Make no mistake that they gave him two extra days both times, or the one time, and then it works out the second time.
Yeah.
But that also lined him up to miss the Rockies.
Absolutely. Very good decision there. So anyway, we're right out of time here on this day, and I hope everybody has a great weekend and enjoy the games, hopefully, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, everybody.